Welcome to my blog talk radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I am a creative life balance coach, singer-songwriter, and author of the book titled The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am happy and excited to have Dennis Hegarty as my guest today. Dennis became a big music fan as a child, beginning drum lessons at age 9. In high school, he played in a band and later taught himself guitar. As a musical outlet, in addition to career and family, he formed a Novato-based band with friends in 1988 and has performed regularly since then for weddings, parties, fundraisers, and at church. Along the way, he developed an interest in songwriting and began recording at home. Originally, he played all the instruments, but later went into the studio and recorded them again with musician friends. His album of 13 original songs was released in 2012 under the name of Blind Date. Dennis loves the art of songwriting and is fascinated with the process of making a melody and lyrics come together. Join us to hear what Dennis has to say about living your music, songwriting, and you'll also get to hear a really cool song by Dennis called Goodbye during the show. Welcome, Dennis.
Thank you, Margot. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. I am delighted to have you on the show. It's been such a pleasure meeting you through West Coast Songwriters up in San Rafael. And when you come to judge the competitions for us, that's you are a really good judge.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I try to be clear.
Yeah, I like one of the things I really loved what you had said about when you were choosing the winners for the May competition is that you partly judge it on what songs you'd want to hear over and over again. And I thought that was a really good way to do it instead of just being critical about, you know, or going just by your taste, you know. So I thought
right.
That was really cool.
Well, that's the foundation of trying to write a hit is the whole focus is what how can you grab the listener's attention early on that makes them want to listen all the way to the end and want to hear it again. Not every song has to be a hit, but the whole focus of the songwriters that we all grew up listening to, we're trying to do exactly that. Otherwise, we would not have heard their song on the radio, whether it was, you know, Chuck Berry or Elvis Presley back in the late 50s or Taylor Swift last year. They're
mm-hmm.
trying to write something that grabs the listener. The whole album concept, of course, you can have two hits or one hit, and then you can fill out the whole album with a whole lot of other musical ideas, but I was focused early on trying to come up with something that somebody wanted to hear again that also told a story or made them think about something. I've very carefully avoided my own personal opinions about politics or the state of the world because we just get hit with so much of that. I was a lot more interested in writing stories about real relationships that I know of, real tragedies that I know of, like my brother dying in a car accident, or my son's wife leaving him. So those have inspired me to write certain things, and then the birth of my granddaughter inspired me to write a song, a children's song.
Oh, how cool!
Yeah.
How old is she now?
Yeah. She's 5.5 years old, and when she was about 3, she had a little shirt on that said Daddy's Little Girl, and I had this sort of little melody running through my head that I was playing guitar, and I sat down one morning and pretty much wrote the whole thing, and then later went in and recorded it. It'll be on the second album. In fact,
oh,
it'll
cool.
be the last song on the second album, yeah. Little kind of a lullaby. I put it on the Disney radio show through Django Radio Airplay, and it
uh-huh.
got a lot of fans.
Oh, that's really awesome. I love that. I'm really want to hear it. So, sure. Okay, now, there are so many things that I want to talk to you about. My mind's going this way and that way, all over the place. But I think that to start off with, let's go back a little bit and start out what were your early musical influences. Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about your passion path of development with music?
Well, you know, actually one of the very first songs I remember on the radio that really grabbed my attention because it had such a sweet, deep, emotional connection with me was Tammy's in Love by Debbie Reynolds. I must have been 4 or 5 years old sitting in the back seat of my mother's car one night, and I remember that came on, and I kind of had whatever the little 4 or 5 year old brain concept is of love. It's wow, this Tammy's in Love. And I remember High Hopes, and my parents played a lot of musicals. So around the house, we heard a lot of Camelot, The Sound of Music, Oklahoma, all the big, The Music Man, you know, all the big Broadway show tunes.
Mm-hmm.
Those had a big influence on me as a kid. But it wasn't my radio station. My radio station on my little clock radio in my bedroom, I had on KRLA out of Los Angeles. And, of course, there's the Beach Boys and some of the early Hootenanny songs, you know, and the Kingston Trio. And I kind of liked it all. And I remember the very first record I ever bought, I was 8 years old, and I used my own money, my allowance money, and I spent $98 plus 98 cents plus tax, and I bought Puff the Magic Dragon by Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Oh, I love that song, too. I loved singing that when I was growing up. And just, yeah, you've named so many things. That definitely the Beach Boys were a biggie for me, and also the Beatles.
Yes.
I liked both really a lot. And my very first album I got was the Beach Boys Today, and the second one was the Beatles. I think it's called the Beatles VI6 or whatever. You know, it was like an American version of it. Yeah. Anyway, it had 8 days a week on it. That was the biggest hit.
It was called Beatles 6.
Yeah, and
came out in 1965.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is when hit radio pulls you in, you get exposed to other things. So I already was a big fan of Puff the Magic Dragon. Well, lo and behold, on the radio, I hear the same group, Peter, Paul, and Mary, singing Blowin' in the Wind. I heard that was written by this poet back east named Bob Dylan. Well, you know, that along with the Kingston Trio singing Where Have All the Flowers Gone, you know, it's starting to, like, go into a different emotional level beyond just, you know, surfer girl type thing. The big change hit when I saw the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show, February 1964. I just was over the top excited, and I looked at Ringo, and I already was learning to play drums, and I thought, I'm going to replace Ringo. When he retires, I'm going to grow up, and I'm going to replace Ringo in the Beatles.
How fun.
And a couple months later, my mother gave us three kids. We had four kids, small newborn baby. For Easter, we always got a gift, and she gave us the Beatles' first album. Well, we just played that endlessly. And from that point on, I was playing my little records in my bedroom, turning it up real loud. And I had gotten a snare. Santa Claus brought me a snare drum, and I had one snare drum. And a man down the street was a drummer, and he had some old drum equipment he was selling at a garage sale. And I bought a beat-up old cymbal, and I put a nail in the top of a broomstick, and I stuck that cymbal on the top of the broomstick, and that was my cymbal stand. And so I just sat there and practiced over and over again, keeping a beat to all these records. At the same time, my brother had a paper route. He had a little bit of money. He was 2 years older than me. Mm-hmm. And he bought, you know, the Birds, the Lovin' Spoonful, the Rolling Stone singles, all of which I still have, and that's where I started. Uh-huh. The old 45s on the record player.
Yeah, I remember the singles. I had a bunch of those too, and then the albums. That, wow, that is so cool. But you're right. I mean, they were songs that, whatever ones they were ones that stuck in your mind and that you could sing along with because you could remember that it was a catchy chorus, I guess it would be.
Right.
That got you singing along with it at first, and then you'd gradually get to know more of the words and you could sing along with the rest of them. But
right.
Wow, you're bringing back so many memories, so many happy memories.
The whole goal of those people was, look, we've got listeners out there that we're going to try to grab their attention in less than 3 minutes. How can
right.
we do that? And sometimes it was formula, and sometimes it was cheesy, and sometimes it was shallow. But a lot of times there would be some real stories and some real thought. I mean, the other nice thing about Top 40 Radio is that while I was trying to listen for the next Beatles song or the next Bird song or the Love and Spoonful, I got introduced to the Supremes, James
mm-hmm.
Brown, Smokey
mm-hmm.
Robinson, and on
oh,
the countryside,
yeah.
Roger Miller. When else would I hear them except through Top 40 Radio? So Top 40 Radio played the songs that were the biggest hits in the country, not the biggest rock hits or the biggest
mm-hmm.
Motown hits, whatever was selling. So I got introduced to Motown because I was trying to listen to the other songs that I liked. But along the way, I got introduced to those, and I love them. To this day, Tracks of My Tears by Smokey Robinson is, to me, one of my top 10 favorite songs of all time. The lyrics, the emotion that he captures, and the hook over and over again is just a great, great song.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. And the Supremes and Diana Ross. Oh, wow. I love Diana Ross and the Supremes too. I was really lucky. I got to go see her perform live once when I was in my 20s. A friend and I went up to State Line and saw her. I think it was like Harrah's or one of the places like that. It was just one of the most amazing concerts. She opened it up with like having on this white, elegant looking dress, put her arms out to the sides, and it turned into a movie screen, and they showed film clips of her and the Supremes
wow.
and from her movies and everything. It was just amazing. I just was so excited about it. You know, the time
is
going by super fast, and I want to make sure that we have time to not only play your song Goodbye, but also to talk about it a little bit. So I've got it queued up to play, and I'd like you to tell us a little bit about that before I start playing it, and then we'll talk about it some more after, okay?
Okay. Do you want me to just tell you how I came up with it?
Yeah, tell us a little bit of, whatever you think will be enough that people understand why you wrote it, and then we'll talk more about it afterwards. Does that sound like a plan?
Okay. It originally started as Didn't I Walk You Home from School? Didn't I Try to Be Real Cool? And it was just almost a formula song. And
mm-hmm.
I just recorded it at home with me playing all the instruments, and then I just sat on it for a couple of years. And then
mm-hmm.
I pulled it out again, and I thought, no, I want to say something more important here. So I kind of had the feeling that of all the things that you know, we've talked about, you know, childhood memories, whether it's, you know, going to Disneyland or playing with friends and listening to the hits on the radio when I was a child,
mm-hmm.
you kind of have to say goodbye to them all because you have to, now you're an adult, you're married, you got a child, and you got a career to support, and you got to get up in the morning and shower and shave and eat breakfast and go to work. So, but I kind of tried to capture all those moods and thoughts and feelings from various songs and a little bit of the Disney ride attraction aspect.
Mm-hmm.
then I've got to say goodbye to them all because I'm an adult and I'm married now and I've got a job to do. But I can still go back and listen to all those things and thoroughly enjoy them, and it kind of gives me pleasure today. So
yeah,
I'm saying goodbye to them, but I'm still enjoying them.
I love that. I love that. The song just really captured my heart and my imagination and made me feel so good and smile that was why I asked you to be on the show, is because you had played that during the judge break during the
yes.
Songwriters when you were there in May. And so I'm going to play Goodbye, and then we'll talk about it a little bit more.
Okay.
And I just want everybody to know it's a little over 3 minutes. It's not actually, you know what? It seems like it's too short, but we'll go ahead and play.
Tried to get it at 2 minutes and 50 seconds, but it didn't work.
Yeah, well, it's 3 minutes and 10 seconds. So here we go.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Goodbye.
Thanks.
Goodbye, yellow brick road. Goodbye, Mr. Toad. Goodbye, Alice going down. So long, Mr. Ed, Lassie, go to bed. Good night, Huckleberry Hound. Goodbye, Surfer Girl. Goodbye, Duke of Earl. Goodbye, Kathy and her clown.
Oh, Dennis, I love that song.
Thank you.
I was talking so much
about the songs, but I forgot about the two dogs, Lassie and Huckleberry Hound.
Oh yeah. Oh my God, Lassie.
Yeah.
And I loved the Huckleberry Hound show. You know,
yeah.
You got, Top Cat in there, but you know.
No.
Oh, God, that brings back so many happy memories from my childhood and from growing up. And so, you know, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people out there that listen to the show and they really love it. How can they get the song? And do you have it for sale as a single or is it on the album?
It was the last song on the first album, but I actually added some more background vocals and redid it. I didn't re-record the entire song. I kept the instrumentation and just added, I sang new lyrics. The original didn't have the exact same lyrics. So I have it as an MP3 file that I would be more than happy to send to anybody. And who knows if there's, you know, you like it a lot, maybe I'll repeat it and add it as the last song in the next album, because it's quite different from the one that was on my first album.
I love it, and I definitely want you to put it on the second album. So, but how can people get in touch with you to get the MP3 of the song?
Well, they can email me. Should I read my email address over the phone, over the radio?
Yeah. If
Dennis,
so, you know, that's okay with you.
Absolutely. Dennis at dhaggerty.com. So that's Dennis at dhaggerty.com. Or they can call or text to 415-320-0683.
Fantastic.
And if anybody calls or writes or texts, I will be more than happy to email them the MP3 file. I'd love to do that.
Well, how much does it cost? I mean, you've got to charge them something.
No.
Right?
No.
You just give them
a
free one?
If they want it, I'll give it to them, absolutely.
Oh, that's fantastic. And then they'll be looking forward to hearing the rest of your songs on your first album and also looking forward to the second album. How are you coming along on the second album? Is it how many songs do you have for it so far?
I have 10 completed. I'm going to do one more. What I did on the first album with Blind Date was that I was recording several songs, and I decided that I wanted to hear voices other than my own. So I took a couple of the songs and I rewrote them from a female perspective, and invited some female friends of mine that have fantastic voices, found the key that fit them, and then recorded the songs again with a female singer. And I had about 5 or 6 different female singers, so that's one of the reasons I called it Blind Date. Plus, it's the name of my band. It's a cover band. So I continued that same theme with the second album. I'm going to have my vocals on the first song, and I'm going to have my vocals on the last song with 9 different female singers in between, but they're all songs that I've written.
Wow, that's really cool.
So I hope to be done by October.
Fantastic. Well, now, before we go any farther, I want to ask the questions for everyone out there who's listening and thinking about what their heart's desires are and what they've always dreamed of doing and what they love, so that they can think about that and start taking some action on it. And so, everyone out there, what music do you hear calling you? What do you feel inspired to do? What gives you joy? Are you willing to let go of your limiting beliefs and let yourself live your music? I hope each of you listening will do your best to love yourself, love the people and animals in your life, live your music, and enjoy your time on this beautiful planet we call Earth. And, you know, Dennis, you just are just adding so much joy and fun with that song. I haven't even heard the rest of your songs on the album, but I mean, I would buy the album just for that song anyway, so...
Well, thank you.
I think it's really fun. And, you know, that's one of the things. We had West Coast Songwriters last night. We had our last competition for the West Coast Songwriters year. In other words, for the best song and best performances of the month. And we had a big turnout at Phoenix for last night. But it's just, you know, it's just so amazing to watch and listen, all these different songwriters that you hear at the events, and then to hear the the playoffs of the songs, which will happen next month. So, you know, but you see so many people that are willing, I guess it was my point, you see people who are willing to get out there and try doing what they really feel passionate about. And
yeah,
one of the things I've loved about being part of West Coast Songwriters since we joined in 2014,
uh-huh.
and then later became co-managers with Bob and Laura Lee. So, you know, but I love that anybody can do it, that it doesn't have to be your, like, the perfect vocalist or the perfect musician. Some people are better at writing the lyrics or the music, and some people are better at performing it, so there's the best performance and the best song that they can get. But, you know, if I hadn't been part of that, I wouldn't have met you either. So, you know, you meet
well,
wonderful
thank you.
People. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah,
you
thanks.
Meet so many wonderful people who are doing things that they love and that are heart's desires for them. And we all learn from each other. And so I love that it's also a real collaborative effect, you know, that
mm-hmm.
people collaborate with each other. Like you were talking about having the women sing the songs for you, which gives it a whole different feel than it does if you sing them yourself.
Absolutely. And I just love a nice female voice. I honor and respect it, and it's been a real treasure to hear some of my songs, you know, sung so beautifully, because, you know, I have a limited range, and I'm not going to try to pretend what I'm not. When I play in my band, I'm fine doing, you know, the Mick Jagger or Rolling Stones type songs,
mm-hmm.
or Tom Petty
mm-hmm.
and the Heartbreakers.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't try to sing what I can't.
I
know my limitations.
Well, that's one of the things that I've learned by watching The Voice, too, is there's certain songs that just don't work for certain people's voices or their personalities
right.
either.
Right.
You know, we've only got 3 minutes left. This time went by so fast. I can't believe it. And I just was wondering if you have a real quick bit of advice for people that are listening about living their music.
My advice, there's a lot of people, you know, I'm in my early 60s, and there's so many people that say, oh, I'd love to play guitar, or I used to play guitar and I stopped playing, or I stopped playing piano. And what I did was, even though I was busy going to college, I always had a guitar next to my bed. And I would play 20 minutes before I did homework. I'd come home from work, I'd be dog tired, but I'd play
mm-hmm.
for 10 minutes. So my suggestion to everybody, whether it's songwriting or learning an instrument, don't try to take on too much. Don't say, oh, I'm going to put in 2 hours every day. Just grab 15 minutes, grab 20 minutes here and there on a regular basis. And that's also what I did with songwriting. That little
mm-hmm.
15 and 20 minute intervals, picking up the guitar, strumming some chords, a little melody would pop in my head. And then I'd put it down. And then later, another little phrase would come up in my head and go, oh, those words work with that little melody. So I've always been one that said, you know, whether it's learning a foreign language, which I've also done a few in my life, as
mm-hmm.
well as music, is little bits every day add up, rather than trying to say, okay, I'm going to block out, you know, one solid week and write a hit song. You know, you're far better off doing constantly nibbling at it than trying to chew on too much.
That is great advice, and that's exactly how I did it with my book, too. Show up for at least 15 minutes, but longer if I could, each day.
Yeah.
Dennis, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you for being a judge at West Coast Songwriters, and thank you for your songs. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you for having me, and thank you for your interest. I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you. All right, everyone out there, decide what music you are here to live, and then live some of it for at least 5, 10, 15 minutes a day, as Dennis just said.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. And bye for now, everyone.